This is the part of the Sermon on the Mount where the crowd thins out. Jesus is bringing challenge. And together today, we endure this challenge. We accept this challenge, this correction, this teaching. And we ponder together about what is the good news when we're called to rip out eyes and chop off hands. Not each other's. That we would sign up for. But our own. Turns out Jesus wants Jesus' disciples to actually be disciplined. You have heard it said, you shall have no other gods than the Lord who brought you out of slavery into freedom. No other gods than the God who brought you from death into abundant life. But I say to you that idolatry is not about what you say with your lips or do with your hands and knees. It's not even about what you think is true. Idolatry is about who or what we place our trust in when we plan for the future or when the present is terrifying. And we are idolaters. A lot of us. And you have heard it said, you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. But I say to you, words aren't necessary when you drive carelessly with your Jesus fish emblazoned on your bumper. Words aren't necessary when you wear crosses spangled with gold and jewels without a thought for the lives of the desperate ones who mine those precious resources, taking most of the risks and gaining little of the rewards, to say nothing of the silent earth itself, as she is slashed and penetrated for profit. And we are vain users, all. And yet, you have heard it said, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But I say to you, you know nothing of rest and less about honoring God, our Creator and Liberator. Go ahead. Chew on that as you devour your brunch, along with the Sabbath of those who must work to make it happen. All the while, listening to your party pontificate about the good old days when everyone was in church on Sunday. All of us own a share of this exhausting and exhausted dishonor. And yet, we. You have heard it said, honor your father and mother, that you may live long in the land that I am giving to you. But I say to you, rolling your eyes at your teachers, especially your confirmation teachers, counts. Showing open disdain for your premier or your prime minister counts. Disobeying the rule of law counts, whether in court or on the streets in protest. Together, we curse those in authority constantly. And so, we curse God. And yet, we turn. You have heard it said, you shall not murder. But Jesus Christ intensifies the law to clarify God's point. We are murderous through and through. our thoughts demean, our words excoriate, our hearts condemn. And yet, we turn our hearts and eyes. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but Christ Jesus turns up the heat on this refining fire so that we might gain eyes to see God's passion. God's passion for all creation. For make no mistake, we are complicit in myriad systems that objectify God's children in order to relish the titillation of domination. We may not all be porn addicts or human traffickers, but none of us, not one, is faithful. And yet, we turn our hearts and our eyes not. You have heard it said, you shall not steal. But I say to you that everyone who has more than enough has stolen from the poverty stricken here and now, today. And still we steal. We steal and we steal from future generations. Together we are thieving at a rate and on a magnitude so unprecedented that the sustainability of life on this blue planet is threatened, along with the right to life of countless generations of plants and animals and human beings yet to come. And yet, we turn our hearts and eyes not to self-righteousness. You have heard it said, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. But our Savior clarifies and expands this by saying, not only should you refrain from falsely swearing, you should just steer clear of the whole swearing business altogether. Yet how many of us applauded the speech given by that lone Republican senator who dared cast a vote to impeach the American president? I did. And why? Because he demonstrated both in his words and in his actions that he took his oath, that oath sworn before God and country, that he took it seriously. That he took it to heart, this oath that Jesus says he never should have taken in the first place. An oath not unlike the ones we cannot seem to stop uttering and insisting upon ourselves. And yet, we turn our hearts and our eyes not to self-righteousness under the law, for you have heard it said, you shall not covet. Look, Christians of the Lutheran persuasion are so sure that this commandment is important that we double count it. You shall not covet, commandments 9 and 10 by our reckoning. But I say to you, the treaty lands upon which we live and move and worship were conceived not according to the rule of law, but in the depths of sin-soaked human hearts themselves, rotten with covetousness. First explorers, then settlers encountered advanced civilizations and named them savage, because these first peoples inconveniently lived in lands the colonial powers wanted for themselves and wanted to imagine as empty, so that they could have them. And so the doctrine of discovery was invented and developed to make it easier to believe that these lands were in fact empty from time immemorial. To this day, when resources are discovered on or need to be moved across treaty or unceded territories, the covetous cacophony of depraved privilege reverberates through airwaves and heartstrings alike. Listen, as people living in Alberta in 2020, our covetousness is undeniably chronic, just as it is alarmingly critical. And yet, we turn our hearts and our eyes not to self-righteousness under the law, but to Christ Jesus. For if my feeble words, and let me be clear, I don't stand here and accuse anyone of anything that I am not guilty of first myself. And I suggest no easy solutions. But this is the weight of the gospel proclaimed in our midst today. No one is innocent under the law. And the wages of that guilt is death. It must be abundantly clear by now that this law is a rule of reconciled and peaceful, abundant life that is beyond us to even imagine, let alone achieve or grasp. And yet, we taste it, and we drink of it, we hold a share in it. For we turn our hearts and eyes not to self-righteousness under the law, but to Jesus Christ, who alone is the righteousness of God. And looking to Christ, following Jesus, drinking deep of the Holy Spirit, putting our trust in the Creator, we catch a glimpse of the reign of God that comes near. At our best, all of this causes us to repent of our multitude of sins and overarching sinfulness. And repenting, we believe, and believing, we trust, and finally, trusting the giver of the commandments, we can begin to receive them for what they are. Not a punch card that if you get enough holes in it, gains you access into heaven because you are holy. But the gift of a holy rule of life that allows us to linger longer and longer in the truth and reconciliation and peace of God's kingdom here and now. Not engineered by us or won by us, but given to us, poured out over us. A gift. And so we turn our hearts and eyes not to the self-righteousness under the law, but to Jesus Christ, who alone is the righteousness of God, poured out once and for all. Yes, Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again to show us a new and better kind of righteousness. This is Matthew's good news. Good news for you and for me. Good news for anyone who can't stand upright under the law. And so good news for everyone. This righteousness is the love of God poured out in self-denying, self-sacrificing love. Love that is for all our sins. Love that is for all of us. Love that is for all the world. Love that is for all. Chew on that. Sop it up and soak it in as Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, enters into your body through bread and wine and makes of you a new thing. Christ's own body, living and breathing and moving in the world. Savor our Savior and ponder how now to live lives worthy of such an inexplicable, unexpected, precious, and empowering gift. Ponder And in this pondering, believe that God will lead you to the next good thing. Not perfect, but good thing. You can't and won't do it all on your own. And you and I and us together will most assuredly screw it up. And then we come back to the Lord's gracious table. And then we turn our hearts and our eyes to look once again, not to our own achievement or self-righteousness, but to Jesus Christ, who alone is God's righteousness for all the world. Amen.